You ready for the word? Praise one hand, say together, Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive by faith the revelation of the written word. It unveils to us the living word. We align in this service to the voice of your Spirit, the supernatural harvest, the first thing, the first fruit of things to come, and we walk in it. In this service, together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We want to study together the theme, As We Gather. Hallelujah. As we gather. The song that, as we gather, is it may your spirit. Now we say, as your spirit. So we want to look at the as we gather, the importance of church meetings and Christian meetings. Everything about a Christian life ought to be explained. Sometimes people assume we know why we go to church or we attend church meetings. Sometimes it's assumed we know how to pray. And you mustn't make such assumptions. You must learn God's word about God's dealings with us. You must learn God's word. God has no other means to communicate his plan but the written word. So the written word contains God's purpose and plan. That's very vital that we get that. So Matthew's Gospel 28:18, let's go in there. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, pay attention to two texts in there. Verse 19, make disciples, that's the word teach. Matheteuo, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, which means to train. And that word in the practice means you will have a master and a student. You don't get disciple without service. In other words, you have to submit to someone who begins to teach you. Discipleship involves service, submission, and one thing we're going to add later on, a place. There must be a teacher. That's why Matthew's Gospel 6, Jesus says, no man can have two masters. That word kurios is used for those who teach or who train or who bring up. So it's vital that we understand this in discipleship. You are not discipled in a vacuum or on your own. You've got to have where you are taught, who is teaching, and how you are learning. Yesterday, I was saying that in one of the services earlier, we had a cell leaders conference. A cell in this church is a unit church or unit of the church where people do church but in different places. So we had a conference yesterday for all the churches. They all hooked up and we had it yesterday. And I told them the importance of taking notes. And it wasn't a 2-minute talk. It was a teaching on why it is ungodly not to take notes. Praise the Lord. I believe the teaching is going to be out tomorrow. So you listen to it. So next time you're in church and you are not actually taking records, know that they are not pleasing God. Amen. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. And I explained it to you very clearly. If you get the teaching, I purposely wanted that teaching to come out so that you would take notes. Because I was actually teaching them how to, the importance of having teaching notes. So we saw that it's the foundation of God's word. You don't come to church to watch or to nod. No, it's not right. You come to church to learn. And the attitude is important. You must have the right attitude. In Christianity, attitude is everything. No one with the wrong attitude can receive God's word. That's why James, in James 1, he says, laying aside, verse 21, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receiving meekness, the engrafted word that's able to save the soul. That's why, before every service, let me give you this instruction. deal with any attitude that can hinder you. Deal with any service, any whether it's your cell meeting or your midweek services or your prayer meeting. Every attitude that will hinder you from receiving God's word, deal with it. Because attitude is everything. The moment you have a wrong attitude about the service, about the speaker, about the message, about the teaching, about, you're going to get nothing out of it. Nothing. Attitude is everything. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God get the right attitude. Say, I have the right attitude. I wear the right attitude in the service today. Okay, so we're meant to be taught. Excuse me. We're meant to be trained. Okay? By the word. I saw the next verse, Matthew 28:20. Teaching them, which is the word to instruct. To instruct. And that word, didasco, is a strong word. It's not a suggestion. It carries the word commandment. Just like he says, things I've commanded you. The Bible is not a suggestion. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm having a suggestion box. Did you have it? Did you have it? Yeah. Suggestion box. Remember, we had one in my secondary school. So people began to put in there, cancel all the school days and just remain one. So they just removed it. We were writing nonsense. Can we just have one school day? What do you want to do the other days? Just stay in the bunny house and sleep off. None of you feel up that way. Just one lecture in all the days. So you the Bible is not a suggestion book where he suggests you and you can pray. You know, and you can pray. Prayer is, you can, you might not. No, it's an instruction. So, everything we read in God's word carries with it the strength of God's wisdom for us. Hallelujah. And so we want to see, and we've said this before now, that Jesus, therefore, in this instance, is bringing them to the knowledge of Genesis through to Malachi. Genesis through to Malachi. Bringing them to that knowledge of Genesis through to Malachi. So, let us now see how they practice the word. Because we're looking at as we gather. And today, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a book also in print. It's titled Online Church. Is there an online church? You know, some guys, online church. I attend the service online. I attended the service online. We're going to see whether that statement makes sense. I attended church online. What does it mean? I attended church online. You can say, I heard the pastor online. That's fine. I watched the service online. But you could not have attended the service online. Amen. Up of Jesus. Thank you. Up of Jesus. You watched the service. You heard the pastor. But you did not attend the service. Get that right. Hallelujah. And you did not obey God. That's clearer, right? Amen. So you watched the service. You heard the teaching. But you definitely did not attend the service. Praise the Lord. That should be very clear. Anyway, we're going clearer. So Jesus is teaching them the practice of the word. So discipleship is not just hearing it. Difference between a disciple and a hearer. A hearer just says, yeah. Glory. I was blessed. Some guys say, Pastor, that meeting changed my life. And they're so happy. Changed my life. So he said, well, on Monday, that's a Sunday, the believers come in. On Monday, we want to pray. Quickly. I thought you'd give us some break after changing your life. A disciple will carry out the word immediately. He's going to practice the word, right? Because he's a student.
So the practice of the word, we're going to see it in the book of Acts. How did they practice the things that Jesus taught them? Now, for example, look at Luke 24. Let's see something quickly. Now, Jesus, for example, in Luke 24, when he's teaching them, pay attention to details. Is that clear? Is that clear? Details. Luke 24. Now, in 25, he said to them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ or suffer this and enter into his glory. And verse 27, beginning at Moses and all prophets, and found them in all scripture to himself. Now, that's very fast, I believe. Verse 28, then they drew near unto the village whither they went, and he made us though he would have gone further, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is past spent. He went in to tarry with them. Pay attention, there's something Luke is saying here. He stayed with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat, he took bread, blessed it, break it, and gave to them, and their eyes opened. So, something happened when they stayed in a place. Just put that in mind. They got to a place. And then, Luke says in 32, then they said, did our hearts not burn as he opened to us the scriptures? And where were their eyes opened? When they got inside the house. When they got at inside the house. Now, yet again, you see, as we proceed further, they went to Jerusalem, and then Jesus again came into the place, verse 36, where they were. Again into the place where they were. Look at the progression. Then yet again, he gives them an instruction in 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of where? Jerusalem. He gave them a place. He teaches them in the place. He talks to them in the place. Then he gives them an instruction to be in a place. I'll backtrack a little bit and look at Matthew 28. Jesus, Matthew is very direct here. Matthew 28. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee, unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So there was a consistent tradition that they are teaching and acting upon from what we call the Old Testament of meeting, or let's say, gathering together in a place. It's a practice that we mustn't lose sight of. They go to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Just the immediate experience after this, Acts 1. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, just like he instructed them, Acts 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. Verse 13. They were come, they went up to an upper room. Verse 14. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up online. About that. Where? In the midst of who? Okay, in the midst of disciples. Acts 2:1. Now when, let's take it together. Acts 2:1, let's go. Now when the day of Pentecost, I'm waiting for it. Let's go again. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. Where? In one place. So there's an emphasis of coming together. And it's important we don't lose that. There's an emphasis of a place. Yet again, let's emphasize that Jesus is not teaching, just like his own apostles, he's not teaching just at the spur of the moment. They are teaching from what we refer to as the Old Testament books. So, the practice of gathering, pay attention, is a fabric of our salvation. It's vital to our salvation. And God's word doesn't get subjected to human changes. Oh, well, right now, this is how we feel. Oh, this is what we want now. Oh, you know, this is how we... No, there was a fellow who brought this argument a couple of weeks ago. He said, I don't believe that one person should be over a church. Oh, I said, that's interesting. I'd like to know why. He said, no!
A church should have multiple elders. Because anything that has one head or one leader is subject to manipulation. It went into very big grammar. I said, that's interesting. I don't also believe that a woman should have one husband. Or anybody should have one father. I said, ah, what are you talking about? I said, no, we're just flowing. Can we go further? He said, no, but can't you see? You know that. So he went into the fact that Paul ordained elders in every city. I said, no, Paul didn't ordain elders in every city. Titus did. So he said, oh, so that means there was somebody over all the elders in one city. I said, oh, that's true. You know, some people, sometimes we get so angry at abuse. They will use that to explain scripture. No. It's only dishonest people or mischievous people that explain anything from the abuse. That's being dishonest. You don't say because you have quack doctors, all doctors are the same. That's not true. There will always be quack something. There's even quack gods, idols. You always have quack something. Quack, 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 quack. We have quack cars. Quack everything. But you don't define anything by the abuse of it or misuse. So the concept of believers coming together is as important as prayer and our salvation. Let's take a cue back or a journey back to what we call the Old Testament books or the scriptures. Exodus chapter 3. Notice that the deliverance of God, God didn't save or deliver Israelites individually. Is that true? It was as a nation. As a people. That's why salvation is not personal to you. Salvation is not as an individual you got into it, but it has nothing to do with you personally. It's God's work for all men. And like we said in the other service, it involves great and small, rich and poor, male and female, every ethnic group, every gender. So God saves as one. So in the Exodus, which is the narrative of the story of redemption, God saves a people, saves a nation. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. This is what he said to Moses. Go, look at this. Go and what?
I'll wait for you.
Go and gather together or gather the elders of Israel together. Word in there is the Hebrew word asaf, to gather together. An instruction. He gave him his word in 14. He says, this has to happen. You will gather people together. In Genesis chapter 6, that word asaf, 6:21. Thou shalt gather it unto thee, it's the gathering of things in a place. Yes. Genesis 25, verse 8. So it's not a figure of speech. It's a literal gathering. Genesis 25, verse 8. Gave up the ghost, the good head, the full of wisdom. And was gathered to his people, collected for his people. Verse 17. Was gathered unto his people. Now look at Genesis 49, verse 1. So it's not a figurative expression. Genesis 49, verse 1. Are you in church? Right. Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together. And I will tell you that which are before you in the last days. Again, an example of a Christian meeting, he wants to prophesy. Then he calls them. And this is where you have the idea of a believer's meeting. Is that very clear? When Paul says, when you come together and every one of you has a psalm, all right, has a doctrine, has interpretation, this is exactly what Jacob did in here. The only difference, there was no tongues and interpretation, but it was prophecy. Okay, so he says, gather yourselves together.
So it's not figurative, it's literal. Now look at 29, which is a core part of what we're saying. 29, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, unto him shall what? The gathering of his people be. The gathering of his people be. You have verse 29 as well. The gathering of his people. So it's used in Exodus 4:29 for the gathering of fruit. Now remember, this is not this service. That should be the first service where we looked at the Leviticus truth of the Pentecost. Pentecost is to gather, right? So you were not in the service, okay. To gather fruits. To gather fruit of redemption. Fruit of the work of the Spirit. So Pentecost also means to gather something. In gathering it's called. Leviticus 23. To gather. So there's a literal gathering. Exodus chapter 4, 29. Moses went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. So they gather the fruit. Of course, that also has to do with the work of the Spirit. So we gather together. We gather together. Exodus 23, verse 10. 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruit thereof. And we explained that when that parable is used, it's a parable of people. To gather people. Verse 16. The feast of harvest, the first fruit of thy labors. This is the Pentecost. Thou hast sown in the field, the feast of ingathering, that is in the end of the year, thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Leviticus 23, 39. Leviticus 23, 39. Or Leviticus. Why do I say Leviticus? Leviticus 39. In the 15th day of the seventh month, where you have gathered in the fruit of the land, thou shalt keep a feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath. On the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Then Leviticus 25, verse 3. You gather the fruit thereof. Finally, Leviticus 26, verse 25. I'll bring a sword upon you, shall avenge the coil of a covenant, and when you are gathered together within your cities, I'll send presence upon you, you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. So there's a gathering. Of course, this has to do with judgment. But watch this. Which means that just like the feast of the first fruits is symbolic of the fruit of the land or the work of the Spirit, there is a gathering of what has been gotten, of what the harvest is. You have to put them together. Put them together, which is a figure of speech, let's say parable, of what happens when men are saved. So which means that when a man believes the gospel, the first thing we should introduce him to, first concept, is a concept of Christian meetings or Christian gatherings. God wants people to come together and to gather. And so, in the Exodus, both the message and the act of the Exodus were done to an assembly. The message was spoken to an assembly. The act of the Exodus was done to a people. Now, let's look at the Exodus itself. Exodus 12:47. I'll start from 43. And Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. Every man's servant that is bought for money, they shall circumcise him, shall eat thereof. A foreigner, an hired servant, shall not eat thereof. In one house, verse 46, shall it be eaten? Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh, abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Let's take 47 together. all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. The word congregation is the Hebrew word edah, E-D-A-H, the congregation. Exodus 12:3. Okay. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel. Exodus 12:6. To the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel. Exodus 12:19. Cut off from the congregation of Israel. Now, that word, now pay attention here, is taken from another Hebrew word, yad. Y-double-A-D. Y-double-A-D. It's used for an appointed place and people. Which means it's a gathering of a people in a place. A gathering of a people, a particular people, one, in a particular place. A particular people in a particular place. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Exodus 25:22. There I will meet with thee. Exodus 25:22. I'll come in with thee from above the mercy and between the two cherubims which are upon the axis. There will I meet. A meeting place. A meeting place. So it's a place where people meet. We have congregation, assembly, people. So, we said, both the message of the Exodus and the act of the Exodus happen to people. And then there's a gathering of the Exodus. The gathering of God's salvation, the gathering of God's redemption. So, the people, the gathering, and the act are interwoven concepts. You don't separate salvation from the gathering of the people or the people that are saved from salvation. So that was when I believed the gospel. I'm saved to be part of a people. I'm saved to belong to people. Then I'm saved to gather with people. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. Come on, let me see. Come on. Is it getting clear to you? There's nothing personal about your Christian walk. Nothing. There's nothing personal about your Christian walk. Yes, you walk with God personally towards others, with others. So, the salvation is to a people and with a people. We must learn that God saves us into a community. He saves us as a community into a community. There's this phrase that I love to say, and I still will say, but you know, it's lovely, but it needs some brush up. If you were the only one, God would have come to save you. It's nice to say it. Then you look at, let the 99, is that it? I can't deny. I don't know the song actually. But I just know there's 99 left and one. The truth is, He won't save one person. Because the essence of redemption is nations. And Yorubas have been saying, one person is not called our day. One person is not day. Of course, when you translate the Yoruba language into English, when you want to say, daddy is calling you, day is dead. They are calling you. I say, ooh, one person. Very interesting language. But the truth is that God saves a people. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Because if I'm the only one, you couldn't have been the only one. Because the essence of salvation is for the nations. Praise the Lord. So God saves you unto or with the people. He saves you to also belong to a people. So the Exodus was for a nation. You know, truth is this, God, when he says to Abraham, to your seed, and we studied that before, the word Zerah, seed was never meant to be an individual. Because the Genesis truth of it, in Genesis 1:11, the seed is in itself bringing forth fruit, yatsa, after his kind. That word, I hope I'm right. Yet, sir, bring. No, that's not the word. That's yala, I don't think. Hebrew. Yes, 11. Bringing for fruit. So, when it says the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent, Genesis 3:15, give out Genesis 1:28. Replenish, multiply, right? That's how it's going to happen. Replenish, multiply, subdue, have dominion, fill the earth. So, Zerah is a seed person that has a nation in it. That's why David will say a seed will serve him, Psalm 22 verse 30, it will be accounted for a generation, posterity. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So a seed is an individual that leads to nations. Your seed shall inherit the earth. He said to Abraham, say, can you number the sand? So shall your seed be. Glory to God. So we're saved into a people. Is that clear? Is that clear? Come on, guys, you following this? And us, the people, we are saved into a person. Jesus Christ, the Son. So we are saved as a people. We are saved into a people. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Get that right. So in Matthew 16. Glory to God. Matthew 16. Verse 12. Jesus came on the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you are John the Baptist. Some Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? Now I told you, in the other service, right? That word I am is a proper name. Okay? A proper name, which is the word ego in my, E-G-O-A. EMI, a proper name, which is, now Matthew expects you, like I said before, the concept of chapters and verses can compromise your study. Before you go to Matthew 16, Matthew expected you to have read Matthew 1:21. Thou shalt call his name Yeshua, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Then in 23, for the prophet said, unto us a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. So if you had read that, then you got to this. And you know that in the Old Testament, the name of God, Yahweh, Lord, is a pronoun. Sorry, it's not a pronoun, it's a set of verbs, active words. I am that I am, I'll be what I'll be. Ava. So you'll have seen that when he says, who do you say that I am? Proper name. I am. Who do you say God is? I am. Then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter didn't get a flash from glory. He simply said what was written in Genesis to Malachi. And then Jesus answered and said to him in 17, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto you, thou art Peter. Look at 18. Let's take 18 together. Let's go 18 together. Thou art Peter. Everybody, let's go. And upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the word rock is not a loose illustration, a loose explanation. The word rock is an Old Testament explanation of God's everlasting kindness, graciousness, and compassion. It describes God. It describes Him. Let's see a few texts that could help us in that. Exodus. Verse 21. Moses' vision of the coming Christ. What precisely Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy. chapter 30. 32. We ascribe greatness unto our God. Verse 4. He is our rock. He is our rock. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. Psalm 18, verse 2 and 31. Psalm 18, verse 2 and 31. Psalm 18, also, verse 46. Psalm 18, verse 46. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted. So it's used for God's salvation, the rock. When Jesus said in Matthew 7, he that builds his house upon the rock or upon the God's work of salvation. So when he said, upon this rock I build my church, Matthew 16, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Jesus therefore builds his assembly, ecclesia, on salvation. Is that clear? His assembly is not built on family, friends, guys who like themselves, or an ethnic group, or an intellectual group. Is built on salvation. Upon this rock I'll build my church. The word church is ecclesia. Ecclesia, interestingly, is a Greek concept, or a Greco-Roman concept, because at the time that Jesus said this, made this statement, the common language then was Greek in many places. Ecclesia is just two words. Ek, call, sorry, out. E-K, out. Then the word kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, call out, call out. Now, did God call Israel out of Egypt? Huh? Come on. Right, so that means ecclesia becomes our Greek rendering or interpretation of the words we had seen earlier, eda, congregation. Congregation. Or asaf, gather together. So that means if you read congregation or gather together or assembly in the Exodus, when you get to the book of Matthew or the four Gospels or the book of Acts or the epistles, you are going to see ecclesia. Same thing. So, just like they were called out of Egypt as a nation, as a people, because of the Exodus and God's deliverance, we are also called the church because we are saved. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Is this making sense? Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So, Jesus builds his church upon the Exodus too, right? Is that it? Upon redemption? Upon deliverance? Upon salvation? Hallelujah. So the church is beyond a registered organization with the government, even though you have to do that to obey the laws. The church is a people who are saved. A people who are built upon God's salvation work and plan. So it sets us the agenda or the template to know what the church is. The church, therefore, is identified as a people Jesus gathered from darkness, gathered from the world in himself upon his resurrection. You can't be part of a church because you attend a service. You can't be part of a church because you sit in a building. You're only part of the church because you are built on his salvation. That's the first thing. So he says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever things you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That shows you again, the church is his agency on earth. The church is his agency on earth. The church is where and how he executes his work on earth. Interestingly, some people think God will use COVID-19. That seems to be God's church. Some will say he will use a president. Others will say he will use a governor. Others will say he will, it's like they know everything but the Bible. He will use, for some people even get as terrible as say he will use Chelsea. There's no greater heresy. Or Bar United. You know, Satan is always a liar. He's a diabolic deceiver. How can a club just win matches on penalty? In fact,
is now called penalty from the things he took. Let me get back to the word. See, God is using this message. God is, come off it! God works in his church. Hallelujah. See, God works in his church. He's like, God is helpless. He's helpless. So you say, what can I use now? What can I use now? Let me use, well, come on. I'll give the keys to the church. Whatever they bind on earth is what's bound in heaven. Whatever they lose on earth is losing heaven. Now go to chapter 18. Our emphasis here. So Jesus firstly gathers us in himself, just like the Exodus. Saved as a people. Then upon the Exodus, they now gather in assemblies. So in Matthew 18, are you learning something? Are you learning something? Matthew 18, let's look at the background. In verse, let's take one verse. Verse 20. Let's take it together. Matthew 18, 20. If you're there, say amen. Oh, are you there? Let's go. Let's go, come on. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, hold on. Yet again, where is he reading from? Huh? Now, he's not asking you to start church if you are two or three. Is that okay? Even though two or three can do church. But that's not what he's talking about. Always realize that every time you read him like this, you are reading the Old Testament text, as we call it. So, put that in the back of your mind. Again, look at the word, I am in the midst. Not am I. Am I is that translation. I am. I am. So, I am, pronoun, or proper name? Huh? Proper name. Very good. I am in the midst. Proper name. So, let's look at the background. I want us to read it together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Verse 15. Let's go. Moreover, if thy brother shall... Now, by using brother, that is family, right? Good. Let's go on. Thy brother trespass against thee. Go. Let's go. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. 16. If he will not hear you, take with you... Pay attention here. What? One or two more. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Verse 17. If you shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the ecclesia. Actually, the original Greek here is the place of gathering, which is called the synagogue. But good translations, which I agree with, I've said that it carries the same connotation as the ecclesia, so that's fine. So let's, this is a place of meeting. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen and a publican. Look at 18. Verily I say unto you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed. That's exactly what we read earlier on. In Matthew 16, 19. Let's take 19 together now. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father in heaven. Now, what is he asking them to agree on? Look at it. Let's start again. A brother offends you. Go to him, right? If he hears you, you've gained your brother. If it doesn't, go with one or two brethren. Like someone was saying, brethren. If he doesn't hear the brethren, he said, why do you go with two brethren or one or two out of the mouth of, pay attention to details, two or three, let every word be established. If he doesn't hear them, then tell it to the place of meeting. So we started by, some of us start with the place of meeting. Then eventually, they will ask some brethren to talk to two of you. Then they ask you to talk to yourselves. It ought to have been, go to the brother first. Oftentimes, that's what I ask people. Hey, pastor, I said, have you called him?
I don't think he will hear me. That's not what the Bible says. He said, when you think he will not hear you, go to the person first. Hallelujah. You're not going to the person means you did not seek reconciliation. Go to the person first. And I said, I don't think you will hear me. I know some people who have done this before. Say, let me just go to you now for the sake of going. They say, I should come to you. No. They go to gain your brother. You can get this teaching we did, you know, that binding and losing. Praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. I think that was your study group at work some weeks ago. That's why you are smiling already, because you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so say two or three. Now, I want us to pay attention to the two or three. Two or three. Now, in verse 16 there, let every word be established. Jesus is teaching, Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. That's where that is. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall, not too nice one here, that says, somebody who has committed an offense will be brought to death. Numbers 35, verse 30. Numbers 35, verse 30. By the mouth, you cannot convict by the mouth of one witness, but rather he says by the mouth of witnesses, more than one shall a person be convicted. So it becomes a law, right, that you confirm with two or three. Chapter 19, verse 15, yeah. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. So which means that Jesus is talking about corroborating a witness or an experience, or to have the same evidence of the same experience or event. Out of the mouth of two or three shall every word matter be established. And the word witness there means the same thing. Shall every matter be established. So, Matthew 18, again. So, in verse 19, when he says that whatever two or three have agreed, that we agree to do on earth, it shall be done. He's referring to reconciliation. Not prayer for job, husband, wife, or visa. It's talking about amongst the saints. Two or three shall ask of the Father. What is the Father's work? That's why they said, how many times must we forgive? They understood what he was saying. He said seven times. In other words, we gather to affirm and confirm God's reconciliation through us and forgiveness. But that's not the emphasis today. Pay attention again to the two or three, which means that the gathering of believers is meant to confirm and corroborate our experiences. Pay attention. Our common mutual experiences. Put that aside. And let's hit some nail on the head here quickly. So in the book of Acts, we see that there is a practice of gatherings. I'm going back to what I said now shortly. A practice of gatherings. We've seen that in Acts 1. 14, Acts 1, Acts 2, verse 1. So church is a people. Church is also what? Huh? Come on. Is a people and what? A gathering in a place. Matthew 16, 18 and 19, a people. Matthew 18, 15 through to 17, a people in a place. So, why do we have a people in a place where two or three shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask? Why do we come together? Two or three shall what? Agree. two or three. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Two or three shall agree. So it's not saying just two or three. It means more than one person, then the second, then the third. It's a principle actually in the culture of the Jews that simply means multiple corroboration of the same thing. Multiple evidence of the same experience or event. So as we step into the book of Acts, we discover that the word church is used only for gatherings in the book of Acts. If I write there in the Old Testament, let's just run through this one very quickly. Judges 21. Judges 21 and verse 8. To the camp from the Jabesh Gilead to the assembly. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 1. You can add this also for emphasis. Deuteronomy 31 verse 30. Deuteronomy 31 verse 30. Deuteronomy 31 verse 30. Then Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 1. I'll take it again. Deuteronomy 31 verse 30. Deuteronomy 32 verse 1. Joshua 8:35. Joshua 9:8. So it's a people and also a place. In Acts of the Apostles, where Stephen is teaching strictly the story of the Jews, he calls them as a people the ecclesia. Acts 7:38, the church in the wilderness. Acts 7:38. The writer of Hebrews talking about our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 12, I'll declare your name in the midst of the ecclesia. Will I sing praise unto thee? Our salvation, Hebrews 12:22, is called the church, 23, of the firstborn, the general assembly, festial assembly. So what they are doing in the book of Acts is practicing the exodus, the salvation of their souls in an assembly. So the gathering of believers is to practice our salvation. Acts 2:1, they were all in one accord in one place. Doesn't stop there. Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and prayers. But that's not just it. Acts 2:46, one accord in the temple, house to house. Acts 2:46. Acts 2:47, they are called the church. Acts 4, they were one accord in one place. 24, they are called a company. It doesn't stop there. Acts 4:31, the place was shaken together. There is a place, there's a people, and there's also a place called church. Acts 5:42, house to house, they taught and preached Jesus. We can go on and on. In Acts 20, verse 20, Paul says, I taught you publicly and from house to house. So we practice salvation as a people, but also in a place with a people. Let me see if you're following what we're saying here right now. You getting that? Oh, good. So, back to Matthew 18. What is Jesus therefore saying? Where two or three. Before we get there, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them for them by my Father which is in heaven. Which means, when we gather to affirm our common experiences. We are witnesses of a mutual experience. Two or three or more. Which means what is common to us in this place right now is not our stature, is not our ethnic group, is not our knowledge, is not our race, is not our wealth, it's our salvation. We are two or three, alright, and we confirm the same experience. Two or three or more, we are confirming the same or similar experience that we have. There I am, Matthew 18:21, the proper name of God, in the midst. Why does he say, there I am? Again, go back to that name. That is the name of God's salvation, right? Of his deliverance. That's the name in Exodus 3:14 of his plan to save and fulfill his promise. Exodus 6 and 2 and 3 to fulfill his promise. It's the name of the almightiness of God. I am almighty. Genesis 17 verse 1. Which means that our gathering together is in his salvation. Therefore, why do we gather? We gather to honor our common salvation and our common Savior. We gather together, I close here, to honor our common salvation and our common Savior. As we gather, therefore, our honor is for our salvation. It's not for our ancestry in the flesh. It's not for what we possess naturally or what we don't. Therefore, the gathering is to enhance his walk in the earth, is to celebrate his salvation work. When we gather, we sing about it. We pray around it. We talk about it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, in my authority. So, two believers can come together and call it church. And what they are doing is not the ecclesia of God. It has to be two or three. Alright? Witnesses of the same thing. What makes it the ecclesia is that we have that commonness of salvation. Commonness of Savior. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Every word shall be established. So the church is not a multi-purpose place. Why are we here? Oh, born again. Anybody who is born again here? Saved by Jesus. Let me see that. Come on. Washed by the blood. Raise it. Come on, wave your hand. Come on. Come on, wave your hand. Washed by the blood. Not by the works of righteousness which we are. Come on, let me see. Come on. Keep waving. Come on, wave it. Receive the gift of God's righteousness. Have you done that? Justified by the faithfulness of God. Come on, let me see your hand. Receive forgiveness of sins. That is what is common to us. So we are two, three, and we confirm it to each other. There, the I am is right here. As a Savior, the Redeemer, the one who gathers us from all the nations of the earth. And that is why we come together. We come to corroborate what God has done. We come to agree with it together. We come to celebrate it. We are therefore, we'll continue on this next week, witnesses of his purpose and plan. Witnesses of his salvation. You blessed? Are you blessed? With our hearts, let us sing one confession.